At 2:45 in the morning of August 6, 1945, the B-29 Enola Gay took off from North Field on Tinian. Aboard the plane were 13 men and a thing called the Gimmick. Some 1,400 miles and 6 hours later, the Enola Gay reached her appointment with history. The time was 15 minutes and 17 seconds past 8 a.m., just 17 seconds behind schedule, the place, Hiroshima. The Gimmick, also known as Little Boy, was a uranium atomic bomb with the explosive power of 20,000 tons of TNT, puny by today's 100 megaton standards, but powerful enough to kill 78,150 people. 3 days later, on August 9th, the B-29 Great Artiste dropped the plutonium atomic bomb called the Fat Man on Nagasaki. Today, I'm talking with men who were aboard the Enola Gay and the Great Artiste on those missions. In 1945, Robert Lewis was a captain in the 509th Composite Bomb Group. He was the pilot of the Enola Gay. But in the raid on Hiroshima, the Enola Gay was flown by Colonel Paul Tibbets, commanding officer of the group. Captain Lewis flew as co-pilot on that mission. Today, Robert Lewis is an executive of a candy manufacturing firm in New Jersey. He is married and the father of 5 children, all born since 1945. A few days before the Hiroshima mission, the crew of the Enola Gay was shown movie films of the first atomic explosion, the detonation of a plutonium bomb in the New Mexico desert. Did the men of the crew discuss this among themselves?
Well, there was quite some discussion as to perhaps the most important point that we were interested in is the safety and the resulting turn that we were to make to avoid the results of this detonation.
Did any of the men show any qualms about using a weapon of that type?
I don't believe so at the time, because the simple fact was that our target was the center of the city, which housed the Second Imperial Army headquarters, and the way we had this planned, this bomb was to detonate at 1,800 feet above the surface of the Earth, and as a result of this high altitude explosion, the center force of the bomb would, as had been expected, was supposed to just take care of this army headquarters. As you know, the more destruction was to come from the bomb than was anticipated.
From the point of view of a combat mission, was this a difficult flight?
In relation to other bombing missions, from the aspect of the flight itself, no, but the unknown quantity that was attached to this flight was the all-important part as far as we were concerned. In other words, there were so many things that could go wrong, and this again was the first time this bomb, a bomb like this, had ever been dropped by an airplane.
Was there much conversation in the plane on the way to the target?
There was general conversation.
Is there anything that comes to your mind now, or anything that's stuck in your mind?
Well, we always knew very well that we had this huge monster in the belly of the ship, and we made reference to it jokingly in most cases that we hoped that we would be able to get rid of it safely from our point of view anyway, hoping that it would do the job that it was expected to do.
At the instant of detonation, what thoughts went through your mind?
Well, at the instant of detonation, we were trying our best to get away from the effects of the bomb, so that the only thing that, as far as I was concerned, that I recall, was that we had now reached a 90% of our turn, and a few more seconds and we'd be heading directly away from this bomb, and we were to wait for a length of time until the effects reached us. And as far as I was concerned, I could taste this ozone this electrical discharge in the air. This went right through me, and I tasted this very clearly. But
this was from the explosion itself.
This was from the explosion. This taste that I speak of was instantaneous. At least it seems so. And
can you describe what you saw of the explosion over Hiroshima?
Once we made our turn and successfully avoided serious damage to the ship, and we were aware of this, then we waited a minute or two and started a turn back towards the target to see what took place. And there was this most awesome sight, and that was the city that had been in front of us, with its tributaries and bridges and trolleys, all outlined clearly in front of us, was no longer visible. The city was on fire already, and the fire was stretching up the tributaries, up the countryside, and the tributaries, this was all a matter of 4 or 5 miles, but it was sufficiently of sufficient strength to eliminate this city.
Had you anticipated destruction that great?
No, no one had. As I spoke of before, our target had primarily been the headquarters of the 2nd Imperial Japanese Army, and we expected, I did, that if we had been able to pretty well destroy this target, we had would have accomplished our mission. I did not expect to see the city disappear.
Did you have any thoughts about that, about the fact that so many people were killed? Did it go through your mind right then, or did that come with reflection?
No, it did come. It was easy to see from 30,000 feet and 6 or 8 miles away that the damage that had been wrought on Hiroshima was a good deal greater than we had ever anticipated.
Well, what were your feelings about that right then?
Well, if my recollections are correct, I just wondered to myself how severe the damage was.
At that time, what were your private thoughts on the use of an atomic bomb in warfare?
Well, I don't believe I made any such reasonings at that time. The most important thing that ran through my brain between the time we dropped the bomb and arrived back at Tinian was I felt that before we arrived back at Tinian, the war would be over. I felt that this was such a severe blow, such a terrible bomb, that the Japanese Empire could not withstand another one and would never care to it at the point that they were at that time.
I take it then you were surprised when you...
I was surprised we ever had to drop a second one to end the war.
Well, looking back at the action today, through the perspective of 17 years, has your opinion, or have you formed any opinions, or has your opinion changed about the use of the bomb?
As far as the use of the bomb is concerned, in 1945, this was something brand new. This, as I said before, was more of a test than it was of anything else. However, in the relation of the use of the bomb today, I have a certain amount of feelings as to what in my mind would justify the use of any nuclear bomb. And I like to think that we wouldn't be the first ones to use it. But by that I don't mean that we would be a half hour late, maybe 5 minutes late.
Do you think that we can continue to manufacture, test, and stockpile nuclear weapons without one day using them, either by design or by accident?
Well, we have lived since 1945 without the use of this bomb again. And I had maintained in my own mind after this war that if this bomb is ever going to be of any value to anybody, it is going to act as a deterrent against any aggressor. And I just hope and pray that this will be the case for the rest of mankind's history.
Do you think the United States has gone far enough in trying to achieve disarmament?
I believe that we have made sincere efforts, and that we have perhaps not made every possible effort, but I do believe we have made just efforts to bring about a just peace.
If through some combination of circumstances you were asked again to take the controls of Obama on a nuclear mission, would you be willing to do so?
I wouldn't hesitate if the circumstances were such and we were at war. This would be part of my duty as an American citizen.
Do you have a bomb shelter at your home?
No. I don't even have a cellar.
In 1945, Richard Nelson was the radio operator aboard the Enola Gay. Today, he is a salesman for an industrial manufacturer. He's married, the father of two children, and lives in Wellesley, Massachusetts.
Mr. Nelson, when you flew on the Hiroshima raid, did you know that the Enola Gay was carrying an atomic bomb?
Yes, we had been briefed three nights before, even shown pictures of the test bomb in New Mexico that had been blown up in June of 45.
What's your outstanding recollection of the flight itself?
I suppose the outstanding recollection would be the excitement, the knowledge that we had to perform a good mission, the realization that this would be perhaps the end of the war.
How many missions did you fly besides the Hiroshima mission?
Oh golly, now you got me where I probably can't even answer correctly. I'll say six or seven. All of these were actually practice drops for the A-bomb mission.
What was your attitude towards the using of the atomic weapon against Japan at that time?
At that time, I had barely graduated from the teenage and had no feeling whatsoever. I knew that it was an important mission. I knew that probably this would be the end of the war, and I think my emotions at that time were towards the war ending rather than what this big bomb would do and what it did do.
Has your perspective on it changed over those years?
Naturally. I think I'm quite a bit more, well, I won't even say quite a bit more, but more mature now, and it has certainly been brought to my attention many times exactly what this mission did mean. So attitudes naturally change. I think if I could place myself back 17 years and the same conditions were prevalent today as then, I would certainly not hesitate whatsoever on doing this mission over again, even if I was the age I am now.
Immediately after the Hiroshima raid, I assume that the members of the crew must have discussed it between themselves. What was the general feeling among the men?
I think a feeling of elation. I think that, again, remembering what your emotions are during wartime, we all felt this had ended the war. I think we were surprised when a second drop was necessary. We felt strongly that the war was over. So a one-word answer to your question would be a feeling of elation. Right immediately following, flying back in the aircraft and subsequently the few days afterwards. Of course, then the war was finished, so the elation picks up again.
Could you, at the time of, and immediately after the Hiroshima raid, could you visualize the United States ever being hit with weapons of this sort?
Oh, goodness, no. This was, again, may I refresh your memory, I was 20, and I believe a young 20. In other words, I hadn't matured as rapidly in the war as perhaps I would have in college at the same time. But no, this was, first of all, it wasn't anything nice to see. It was spectacular, certainly, but so huge that it was almost outside of your comprehension. Because of this, you reject. You normally just reject thoughts of this. You don't even want them to enter your thought process.
Have you ever had qualms of conscience about your part in the raid on Hiroshima?
Well, first of all, I'll say that your term allows degrees. And if we take into consideration degrees, then I have had qualms. I don't feel that it was wrong. I feel that it was vitally necessary at that time. I think that nowadays people can't realize that morals change, not only for service personnel, but for civilian during a war activity, an all-out war effort. We are conditioned to fight. The Japanese are conditioned to fight. So a bomb drop of this magnitude sounds much more, I don't even want to use the word serious, it sounds more horrible now than it did 17 years ago. I think that if we recall what the philosophy of the Japanese nation was, what their religion, predominant religion was, what their attitudes on fighting a war to the finish, it definitely establishes the necessity of this bomb drop. We know we can believe what their attitudes were at that time. Certainly they're different now, and that's why I qualify my earlier statement. If conditions were the same now as then, I would again participate in it. If conditions were as they are today, I would be hesitant.
Did you ever make any effort to find out exactly what the results were at Hiroshima?
By available material, yes. Every article that's written, any book that's written, I've certainly followed closely, yes.
Do you think that enough has been done by the United States to try to achieve disarmament? Do you think that we could or should go further than we have gone?
If this isn't a weighted question, I'll give you an answer saying yes. I believe no. I will say no, we haven't gone far enough. I don't want to suggest any radical ideas on this. I'm sure that our premise is correct, but perhaps our efforts aren't as thorough as they could be.
Have your children ever expressed curiosity about you?
Oh, my children are 4.5 and 7.5. They don't even know what a war is. They think that you're an army man is what you see on the street when he's thumbing a ride.
Do you anticipate ever explaining this to them?
I doubt whether it'll be necessary. Someone else will be able to explain it better than I in the next 15 years when they'll be interested in it. I certainly wouldn't not be reluctant to answer any question they want, but they can ask me now and I'll give them an answer. No, I, because of the implications on this mission, all of us that participated in it, I'm sure, are asked to speak publicly at various affairs. Because it is more controversial now than it was then, I have restricted my public speaking on this subject to churches and schools, just because this group of people will ask any question. They have no reluctancy to ask you a personal question about the moral ramifications or anything else. And consequently, I think it's easier to talk to this group than the people that don't have enough nerve to ask you if you speak at service clubs and that. They're trying to be polite to you.
Well, what kind of questions do those children ask?
Oh, goodness, see. Principally, they almost acknowledge the fact that you were a pretty terrible person by even participating on this until you explain some of the aspects of it. If you talk to them, communicate with them, then they don't, after you're through speaking and answered their questions, they no longer think you are such a terrible person.
What are your feelings when you see a group of demonstrators, marchers, whatever they may call themselves, carrying their placards and marching on the street and saying, outlaw all atom bombs?
I get angry. I think, first of all, most of them are not realists. I participated in it, and I still wonder about our participation. In other words, it was such an event of such magnitude that it perhaps keyed my thinking higher or made me more critical of analyzing these things than the average person. But when the average person who hasn't had the direct association with it, just because they are do-gooders, gets together in a group, I wonder what their qualifications for suggesting these things are.
In other words, having seen the horror of nuclear war, you still would prefer to fight a nuclear war with all its terrible consequences rather than to accept domination or to surrender to another power.
Absolutely, and I say that both having participated in the last one and now being a father of two children.
After 1945, many people suggested that perhaps instead of actually using the atomic bomb on a city, it would have been wiser to have a demonstration explosion or something of that sort. What are your feelings on that?
I think it's ridiculous. Had we asked the Japanese to witness this exhibition, so-called exhibition, who would have witnessed it? The Japanese military? They certainly wouldn't even draw the war to an end when they knew they were whipped, and they were whipped when we dropped the bomb. So we could not have used an exhibition to these people, and certainly they would not have communicated with the people who would have been impressed by it. So an exhibition is ridiculous. Now, it would have perhaps subjected us to extreme danger, even participating in such.
Well, we know now that at that particular time, the Japanese had made certain tentative overtures towards some sort of a ceasefire. Do you think that it would have perhaps have been more to our interest if we had explored those overtures further before using the weapon?
Well, as I understand this, and I suppose you're quoting from a recent book written on this, President Truman, as I understand it, he didn't know whether these were bona fide offers or not. Now, I still say that the dramatic effect of the bomb had implications both during World War II and for the 8-10 year period after it.
One of the arguments that people who believe in disarmament at any price offer is that there can be no winner of a nuclear war. Now, you have witnessed nuclear war. Do you believe that there can be a possibility of winning a nuclear war?
I don't believe that it has any direct relationship with the original question on whether armament is necessary or not. No, I'm sure that with the bombs we have today, no one would be the winner. This is undoubtedly, I think, everything points to this fact. However, I think the strongest nation can act as a detriment to a condition where there'd be no winner.
In August of 1945, Charles W. Sweeney was a major in the 509th Composite Bomb Group on Tinian. On August 6th, he commanded the B-29 Great Artiste when it flew a wing position to the Enola Gay in the raid on Hiroshima. His plane dropped instruments by parachute, which measured and reported by radio the blast. Major Sweeney witnessed the atomic destruction of Hiroshima. 3 days later, on August 9th, he commanded the Great Artiste when it carried the plutonium atomic bomb called the Fat Man and dropped it on Nagasaki. The father of 9 children and a brigadier general in the Air National Guard, he recently returned from a year's active service in Europe.
To go back for a moment to 1945, I understand that Nagasaki was not the primary target on that raid.
No, Nagasaki was not the primary target on the 9th of August. The primary target was a munitions complex in the city of Kokura, but because of weather conditions primarily in the Kokura area, we were unable to release the weapon there and had to go to our pre-planned secondary target, which was Nagasaki.
Have any thoughts of returning to base without dropping the bomb?
Never, none whatever.
Would that have been possible?
As a last resort, either we would have dropped by radar, although we were instructed, of course, to drop by visual means, or we would have dropped on a target of opportunity.
Those were the voices of the atomic bombers, originally recorded in October 1962 and broadcast on WBAI Radio in New York City, now preserved in the Pacifica Radio Archives. For more information on this program, or to find information on how to purchase a copy of this program, go online at fromthevaultradio.org or call the Pacifica Radio Archives at 800-735-0230.